the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Andrew Mount and Gary Capewell. We have racing on the flat at Thirsk and two jumpers on Wednesday afternoon with the action at Perth and Worcester. We have more action in the evening as well on the turf at Bath, on the poly track at Kempton and over in Ireland at Fairy House. Plenty to get stuck into. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the best of the action is Ollie Pilnot. How are you all?
Good afternoon, John Boy.
Are you well, sir?
I'm okay, John Boy. I've not been particularly well over the last few days. Last week or so.
Yeah, you've had a little bit of a tough time, I think, haven't you?
Yeah, not been very well.
No. And somebody broke into your car as well?
Yeah, and somebody smashed up my car and nicked all my cricket equipment.
Scandalous.
It's been a poor few days, really.
Yeah. You can take your mind off it with some good racing coming up, though.
Well, you say good, John Boy. I wouldn't say it's good, but it's racing.
There are winners to be found. It's entertainment somewhat. Anyway, I mean, the weekend stuff's good. The Eclipse, obviously, superb. We'll have a bit of chat about some of the news to do with that. In fact, Sylvester D'Souza is going to take the ride on Eminence, who's the third favourite for the race at the moment. I'll just go through the betting. Cliffs and Moe, the 94 favourite. 7-2 Barney Roy. Eminent, 4-1. Decorated Knight and Ulysses, both 8-1. 12-1 Jack Hobbs. 14-1 Permian and 16-1 are bigger prices for the others. Interestingly, I didn't realise it had been quite so long. 2 years since Sylvester D'Souza last had a Group 1 winner.
Yeah, and that was a 50-1 shot in the Judmont Stakes at York. Obviously, since he left Godolphin, he seems to be back in favour with them there. He's not really probably had the rides in, well,
no.
Rides with chances in the bigger races. To be fair to Jim Crowley, what's he actually done wrong on Eminent? Not a great deal,
no.
But it appears that Sylvester will be available, you know, just about every time to ride Eminent, so that seems to have been factored in, given that Jim Crowley is contracted to Sheikh Hamdan Al Maktoum, so that seems to have been factored in. He's no mean replacement.
No, he's in fine form, isn't he?
Yeah, probably didn't stay in the Derby when finishing fourth. Of course, Clisson Mohar, the favourite, finished in front of him on that occasion. And I think the step back in trip should definitely suit Eminent, as I say. Just didn't quite stay when we saw him in the Derby and in the Guineas.
Yeah,
looked like he was crying out for a step-up
trip.
So the intermediate mile and two trip should be ideal, you'd have thought.
Yep.
Sylvester booked. And it doesn't look the strongest race on paper. It's interesting that a lot of the older horses aren't turning out here. Not many older horses taking them on. You look at the head of the market. Clisson Mohar, Barney Roy and Eminent. You know, all the younger generation. Then we've got Decorated Knight, the older generation. Ulysses, the younger well, four-year-old Ulysses, isn't he now?
Yeah.
Jack Hobbs, Permian, Deauville. It doesn't look the strongest as Eclipses on paper. So you'd certainly say that Eminent goes there with a decent chance, and that intermediate trip of a mile and two should be right up his street. But I like the look of Barney Roy. I thought impressive performance at Royal Ascot.
Yeah.
A mile and two should certainly suit him on the pedigree as well. And I would have him as favourite. I'm very surprised that Cliffs of Mohar is the five. I think it's just more Ryan Moore, Aidan O'Brien factor. They can't put these horses in at a big price because they'll just get...
Yeah.
Filled in the bookmaker. So.
Well, yeah, I spoke to the traders earlier on actually, and they were saying that Cliffs of Moe, we went 7-1 after the Derby. Aidan O'Brien named that the Eclipse was going to be the target, and we've just seen constant money since then. So that's why he has to be as short as 9-4. A bit of money today and yesterday for Barney Roy as well. That was 4-1 into 7-2, and at bigger prices, people backing Ulysses as well. Apparently at 8-1. So interesting the way that the market's shaping up there. I was very impressed with Barney Roy, Royal Ascot myself, and the only thing I had a slight doubt about was the pedigree and whether he'd stay a mile and a quarter. Acceleration obviously never raced past a mile. He's out of a Galileo mare, which there is a bit of a stamina on that side of the pedigree. And, do you think that'll get him the mile and a quarter?
I thought in the St James's Palace, I thought he was one of the first ones off the bridle.
Yeah.
And yet he still managed to win going away. It looked like he looks nailed on to stay. Acceleration, we don't know. You know, if Frankel wasn't about Acceleration, would have been a superstar, wouldn't he?
At a mile,
but
yeah.
You know, people thought Frankel had the speed. He'd have won a July Cup, Frankel.
Yeah,
he'd also won a Judmont International over a mile and two. I think he'll stay.
Fair enough. 7-2 then Barney Roy, and is that your pick then at this point?
Yeah, Barney Roy I think is a good price. You can see a lot of ticks and right boxes with Eminent, but Barney Roy for me, I think Clifton Mohar is an artificial favourite here.
Okay, fair enough. While we're on the subject of jockey bookings and such, as we mentioned, Sylvester D'Souza is going to ride Eminent there. There's been a U-turn on the Limato situation. Harry Bentley now going to get back on board, having been jocked off for Ryan Moore last time out. Looks like it's going to be back with Harry Bentley for the July Cup, where he's obviously got a good big chance there.
Yeah, got a little bit of unnecessary criticism, I think, Ryan Moore for his ride at Royal Ascot. I don't think he could have done any more from a poor draw. It just seems, you know, it's a funny old job, isn't it, this really? Harry Bentley, I mean, he couldn't help that they cloud seeded and the resultant rain made it very soft indeed on Dubai World Cup night, where the ground just wasn't going to suit.
Yeah.
You know, he's got winning form. He, of course, won the Group 1 Prix de la Forêt at Chanty, won the July Cup on him as well. What more can he do? You know, he didn't deserve to be jocked off. It was just one of those things in Dubai where... One of those things, you know, hammered down with rain because they've seeded the rain.
Yeah.
One of those things, and you know, he's deservedly back on the hook, on the horse. He should never have been jocked off in the first place.
I would agree with that entirely. Caravaggio the favourite there at 5-4. Limato 5-1. 6-1 the Tin Man. Harry Angel 8-1 with Tazleet. Brando 14s, 20s for Faz and Magical Memory, and 25-1 on bigger prices for the others.
I just have a feeling Caravaggio's a bit short.
I don't know. He looks bomb-proof though, doesn't he?
He did look bomb-proof, but at Royal Ascot, he looked beat for a while.
Yeah, but then he still won fairly easily in the end, even probably not travelling as well as he can.
He's taken on some top sprinters here. The Tin Man, yeah. Harry Angel, even Magical Memory if it bounces back to form. Like Washington D. I would much rather take a chance on someone like Washington D.C. at 25s and Caravaggio at 5-4.
Well, I suppose in that case you'd be quite happy to. I mean, he's taking so much out of the market. You'll get
Prices. You're going to get. Well, you're getting an each way bet on any of them, barring the Fav.
Yeah.
He is the top rated 3-year-old by Racing Post ratings, along with Churchill, 125. He sets, but he just looks a tad short. I'm still yet to. I know he's unbeaten, isn't he?
Yeah.
So you can't knock him, but I'm still yet to be completely convinced. If he wins the July Cup. Yeah. With his head in his chest, then I'll be a member of his fan club, but not quite yet. 5-4, he can run and win for me at that price.
Fair enough. I must admit, I would be with Caravaggio.
Would you back him at 5-4?
I think we went 6-4 on the back of his Royal Ascot success, and I said, great bet, get on now.
Would you back him with your money, John Boy?
Yeah.
I think in a big field?
I think that suits him, yeah. I think that he's obviously had... He looked incredible as a two-year-old. Came back as a three-year-old and on his first start looked as good as ever. Wasn't maybe quite as flashy as he's been in the past last time, but he still won easily. And the front two, they didn't look like they were going to come back to him for a long time, and he still just ended up motoring past them. I just think he's got the answers, this horse.
Okay, John Boy.
But I've been wrong before. Yeah. So
we'll agree to disagree. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. He's unbeaten. He comes to this unbeaten Royal Ascot winner impressively. There's few... question marks about him, but there is question marks taking on the older horses for the first time.
Yeah. Okay. I'll concede that. Yeah, that's fair enough. We'll find out more anyway later, because we've got all the way till the second week of July before we need to worry about the July Cup, or the third week, I think it is, in fact, or the start of it. So let's concentrate on matters closer to hand. We've got racing coming up on Wednesday. Ole's picked out some races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
And on to the action then on Wednesday. We start at Thirsk in there, 3:30. I've got a 6 furlong handicap to look at here. A Class 3 event, a field of 11. Set to go to post for this one. And as is often the case with sprint handicaps, this looks fairly open.
Very open. Good race, this. A little over 7 grand to the winner. This is it's a good race on paper, very competitive. So Billy Wright is interesting for our friends. He's a better horse, though, on the all-weather for the Shropshire Wolves. Obviously, he runs off a mark lower than his all-weather mark here, but I'm still yet to think he's quite as good on the turf as he is on the all-weather. That's reflected in his mark, but still off 83. You know, it's climbing and climbing. He's not getting his head in front. Of course, last time he He was second at Chepstow on soft ground behind Satchville Flyer. That was a good run. It'd probably be similar ground at Thurst tomorrow. I know they're giving it as good, but quite a bit of rain around the Yorkshire area today, so it might be a little bit softer than the going shown at the minute. Zanito's interesting for the John Quinn yard. He's been progressive this year. Sports the first time cheap pieces as well. Jason Hart takes the ride there. But the one I'm going to pin my hat to is Lawton. Very well handicapped on last season's form. Last seen him over course and distance when he probably didn't handle the soft ground. But that was when Kevin Ryan's yard were under a cloud with the since he's run the stable sort of went into, you know, they didn't have any runners, yeah, basically.
Shut down, hasn't it?
They shut it down. And they were under a cloud when he's ran the first three starts this season. Off marks of 82, 82 and 82. The handicapper has relented, only dropped him a pound, but he was thoroughly progressive last year. And more importantly, Mark, it was this time last year that he started getting his head in front. 8th of July, he was 25th of June, he was second. 8th of July, he was second. 28th of July, he got his head in front. All in similar, if not better, races than this. His last run of the year, a little bit disappointing when he was over the top in a York handicap. But prior to that, at the Ebor meeting, ran an excellent race when fifth behind East Street Revenue in a far better race than this. So Kevin Ryan's yard, you know, back from being shut down, they've come back in really good form. I think Lawton's three runs is excuses for all three of them.
Yeah.
And you go back to last season's form, I think he's still well handicapped off a mark of 81. So the bottom weight, Lawton for me, in the 3:30 at Thirsk.
Yeah, since Kevin Ryan's runners were allowed to run again, he's had three winners this week, six second place and five third places. So they've come back in decent nick, the Kevin Ryan runners. Let's move to Perth next. A bit of jumping at 3:40 on Wednesday. A handicap chase, this one, over almost 3 miles. It's extended 2 miles and seven furlongs. Eight runners to go to post for this one. We know plenty about quite a lot of these. All, who do you think will come home in front on Wednesday?
Yeah, we know plenty about a lot of these. We've got a lot of course specialists as well. Bailey's Concerto likes to come here for the Sayers, who have a good record at the course with Brian Hughes booked. That has got to be respected. He should be around about the second favourite. Always on the run, I think he'll go off Fav for Tom George and Adrian Heskin. They're another yard who likes to raid here at Perth and continues on the upward curve. Was third last time we saw him at Perth in a decent handicap chase behind Indian Temple. Was beaten best part of 11 lakes that day, over 2.5 mile. Goes up in trip to 3 mile here. Certainly on pedigree, that should suit. But this is competitive, and I'm going to go with Kilbury Kid, who absolutely loves this track. That would appear to be the Tom George second string on jockey bookings. Kieran Geffings takes off £3. Good value for his claim is Kieran. And he absolutely loves Perth. His last three victories have all come here. You'd have thought he's had two runs this season. They should have blown the cobwebs away, finishing sixth and fifth, both off marks of 126. Can compete here off 125, so the handicap has not given him much leeway, but I think it's significant that they bring him back to Perth, having had a couple of runs to give him a pipe opener, and his last three victories have all come here at the track. So Kilbury Kid for me in a competitive heat.
Kilbury Kid, then, the selection for all there in the 3:40. Moving on to the 4:30 at Thirsk next, back to Thirsk. Class 2 handicap, this one, over just short of a mile. We've got seven of them set to go to post for this one. Some, like the race, three-year-old handicaps, always a little bit tricky because the improvement can come out of anywhere. But in terms of what they've done so far, what do you like in the race?
This is tricky, very tricky, because, as you say, three-year-old handicap, we're not quite sure how well handicapped a lot of these are. And we know, you know, when three-year-olds take on the older horses, some are well handicapped, some are not. So yeah, it's hard to know where we stand with a lot of these marks. The one I'm going to go for, though, is Night Circus.
Yeah.
Top weight here, Kai's 9 stone 11. And the likeliest racehorse in the field. Won the Wood Ditton, which is always a strong race. And then was really well fancied in the Newmarket Stakes. And if anything, was very disappointing. But look at the winner of that race, Permian. You know, it was probably a far better race than we first thought.
Yeah.
He did finish last on that occasion, but he was tailed off. You know, he was 22 lengths behind the fourth horse, Margaris, so he was pretty much pulled up by William Buick. He looked after him. So you just strike a complete cross through that run.
Yeah.
He clearly wasn't right. He's been given a lot of time to get over that run. That was back on the 6th of May, so it's best part of 7 weeks to get over that. And, you know, the handicapper was suitably impressed with his Wood Ditton run, giving him a mark of 93. I mean, that's very high. And as I say, they went for a group race, a listed race on his second start, and he went off 3-1 favourite behind Permian, who was very impressive last time we saw him.
Yeah.
So Night Circus for me, you know, it is a bit of a guessing game. 93 could be £20 too high. Could have been a, you know, just a bit of a poor Wood Ditton, and he's won a poor race there. But I think the manner of his victory, the fact he went off 3-1 in the Newmarket Stakes, puts him high up in the Charlie Appleby pecking order. They're going to work this horse with 1900 rated horses every day, so yeah, they'll know where he stands. And off a knock of 93, I would have thought that might be lenient, and he can win this and go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, and like I said, so heavily eased down last time, and yeah, it was just, clearly just what didn't just land him.
Completely bombed out. Just forget about that run. If he came here off a mark of 93, having won the Wood Ditton, you'd question why we haven't seen him since. But you'd also say, you know, he could be, he's a group horse and handicap. Perhaps.
Could be anything. Yeah, yeah.
So I still think he comes here in the could be anything sort of category.
Yeah. And the good thing about that is, as well, from a betting angle, he might be a little bit bigger in the betting than maybe he would have been.
Yeah, than
he's there for. Yeah, yeah. Final race we look at is the 7:30 at Bath, and this is a Class 3 handicap over a mile. We've got six runners for this one, and I suppose we could start with Patty here, the Mick Shannon runner, who's turned out quickly under a penalty after winning at Pontefract last time.
Yeah, won well at Pontefract by 3/4 of a length last time we saw her. And quite significantly, they ran her in a listed race prior to this. So I know Mick Shannon does like, he likes to chuck his horses in maybe probably a little bit too deep. It was a 33-1 shot on that occasion. But they tried to get a bit of black type with her. Didn't work, go to plan. Won last time off a mark of 73. They turn it out under a penalty. And is likely to go quite a short price favourite. So how well in off its mark is John Boy?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
There are others in there as well, aren't there, that come into this in winning form, and, you know, the likes of Pillar of Society for Richard Hannon, for instance.
Yeah, the one I was going to go with here is Fujera Bridge.
Right, okay.
For Roger Varian and Andrea Rixini. Was third off this mark at Yarmouth last time we saw him. He's a colt by See the Stars, so the handicap has not moved him off a mark of 81. He's another one who, you know, ran in, you know, a decent race at Chester in the D Stakes behind Cliffs of Mohart. You know, didn't run a particularly good race, finishing seventh. But the fact they pitched it into the D Stakes on its start, having won its maiden first time out this season at Ripon, would suggest it's rated quite highly off a mark of 83. I know, you know, probably similar sort of race at Yarmouth last time where it could only finish third, but the handicap has left them off 81, and that could be movable. So I think I'd rather take a chance on Fujera Bridge off a mark of 81, which I think is fair, rather than Patty, who's won a minor event at Pontefract, and it has to come here with a penalty. So Fujera Bridge for me in the 7:30 at Bath.
All right, Fujera Bridge then for all there in that final race we look at. As usual, a little bit of a quick summary before we go, just to confirm your selections for us for Wednesday.
3:30 at first, I go with the bottom weight Lawton. In the 3:40 at Perth, I go with the course specialist Kilbury Kid. The 4:30 at first, my selection is the top weight Night Circus. And in the last race of the day we cover, the 7:30 at Bath, I go with Fujera Bridge.
Top man, good stuff all. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. I'll be in the studio with Andrew Mounts and Gary Capewell for the action at Perth, Thirsk and Worcester in the afternoon, Bath, Kempton and Fairy House in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into throughout the day. Do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.